Welcome to show number 75 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is happening, everybody? What's going on? Another edition of the Sports Card Show. Seems like we've been doing a lot of these podcasts lately, maybe more out of my own boredom, but maybe also I've been inspired by this podcast that's been running since actually Friday. Poker players have been calling it Black Friday when all the major sites got shut down and a lot of people's money are still tied up and stuff. But there's this poker podcast that's been streaming on Ustream for the last 5 or 6 days. And they have had a rotating line of hosts and guests and some big name poker players and industry people. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But listening to that, it kind of inspired me. If you're interested, it's at quadjacks.com, unaffiliated plug there. And be sure you're over 21 and of legal gambling age if you want to listen. But I just thought that was kind of interesting. I was like thinking, man, I hope nothing like that happens in sports cards where I've got to get on here and do it. I think it would be kind of fun. Hopefully we could have a rotating line of hosts, because I could probably only do maybe 7 or 8 hours, because once I get sleep deprived, my eyes shut. But there was one guy on there right when it first started. He went for 50 or 60 hours straight hosting this podcast with like 4 or 5 other people at the same time. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Kind of inspired me to get off my lazy butt, maybe record some more podcasts this week. We've already done some. No interview today, but just some more like show 72, I think it was, where we have some news. We will talk about a product today. Some may think this is an affiliated plug, because Panini does send us some nice boxes. They just sent us an Absolute box. They've sent us a bunch of boxes over the last year and this year as well. The Crown Royal Hockey box we got was like incredible. It was one of the best. But I didn't know anybody in the box, but it just looked like every card was just an amazing hit. So we've gotten some good stuff with them. But because I'm such a huge basketball fan, and I think for the most part, a lot of collectors are baseball or into football, because those sets have a lot of players, a lot of good teams, a lot more tradition when it comes to collecting, especially baseball. People kind of forget about basketball, but I love basketball, not just because I just won a fantasy basketball title, but maybe because I'm a Lakers fan, and it's just the sport I grew up playing the most, even before golf, and I got serious into golf. Basketball is my first love, and I even refereed basketball. That's probably where I really fell in love with basketball, or kind of love to hate it, because refereeing is one of those jobs. But I strongly, if you're a young kid out there, refereeing basketball is like, to go slightly off topic, refereeing basketball is a great job. Gets you out in front of people. You have to, I don't know. It probably is one of those things. If I didn't referee basketball, I might not have ever been comfortable enough to do a podcast and talk about all the different things I've talked about on this podcast besides sports cards. So it's a good job if that kind of refereeing any sport is a good job, especially if you're young. It gets you comfortable in an environment and is very good on your communication skills, because you're often going to have people that disagree with you. So no matter what the call is, somebody's going to disagree with you in the building. So it's always good to work on your communication skills. But to continue this podcast on, continue a good podcast on, we're going to talk about classics basketball. And like I said, I could be shilling for Panini at the moment, but they haven't sent me a box of this. I hope they kind of do, because I actually really love this product. I loved it last year. If I had a little bit more money last year, I might have dropped some money on some of the rookies. Probably would have got a Blake Griffin if I had some decent money, because those went up huge money. Why I like this, because they're just the pure on-card autograph. We've seen the window autographs recently with contenders. Tenders patches and has the little patch on there. I don't want anything but the autograph. We've seen Absolutes, got the player worn stuff and the basketball and a sticker autograph. Timeless Treasures has it on autograph. I kind of worry anything that's on some kind of material other than fabric that it fades, because we've seen with Sweet Spot autographs and others, kind of depends on what it is, I guess. I've only seen it happen a lot on those glove leather cards. The signature almost vanishes. So hopefully Panini's Timeless Treasures doesn't do that. I got a Wesley Matthews of that for our trading card challenge with my brother, which I'll talk a little bit about in a minute. But it looked really pure. It looked like the leather was like almost synthetic. It wasn't even like real leather, so it might not absorb the ink quite as well. But we haven't seen too much pure on-card autograph. If you're a basketball collector, if you're looking for rookies, I'm looking for a couple rookies. I'll probably save the few that I'm looking for classics. I actually put my money where my mouth is. If you're on our forum, I posted to blow one of the surprises. Jordan, not really that it's a big surprise, but a Jordan Crawford autograph redemption. Now, most of the cards are in there. I'm hoping the redemption for this Jordan Crawford is because they need him in a Wizards uniform, because he went from the Hawks to the Wizards, which is great because there's not too many. There's no Joe Johnson and Josh Smith and other players that are pretty good on the Wizards. Not to offend any of the players on that team, which I know are all listening at this very moment, but I'm glad to pick up a Jordan Crawford. Just straight on card. I love this product, so we'll definitely talk about this. This came out 4/13, so about a week ago at this very moment. You're listening to this. It's like the 21st of April, so about a week ago. So I like classics basketball. I'm waiting to see what some of the other prices of some of the rookie cards. I've got a couple of them watched on eBay, but I like the purity of it. Most of the rookies are at $6.99, so we'll talk about that. That'll be the product that we talk about on today's program. But right after this short break, I'll probably break out of here right now. But after this short break, we've got tons of news. Not tons of it, but I've got about two sheets of small, the Orleans Hotel and Casino Vegas, like notepad paper here, filled with a couple different things. And then after that, we'll get to our classics basketball review and then maybe some other things that I can think of. But you have that all to look forward to right after this.
Card Collectors World is a forum where you can buy, sell, trade, and discuss sports, non-sports cards, comics, games, toys, and more. Like to win free stuff? Of course you do. We have contests with loads of free prizes, card drafts, group breaks, and more. It is 100% free to join. Come check us out at cardcollectorsworld.com.
And we are back. Time to run now. Like, basically kind of this week's and the last couple weeks hobby news. Basically the last couple days, since we had a show just a couple days ago about kind of the same kind of things. But we got a couple release dates that were pushed back. If you're interested in these products, UFC, Topps UFC title shot got pushed back to May 11th, about a week, I think. Pinnacle Hockey is coming out April 27th. And Bowman Baseball, so another popular set there, got pushed back to May 18th. So be on the lookout for those. Also, coming out this month, you got April 27th. You've got Gypsy Queen Baseball, and you got Topps Attacks Baseball. People overlook that, but if you're into selling and stuff like that, that sells not probably at a huge profit margin, but tends to sell close to the SRP price. So if you're interested in selling some of Topps Attacks Baseball, that's a set people kind of ignore, but really for sellers, it might be like a decent, like small, steady revenue stream if you have good ways to sell Topps Attacks Baseball. So random tip there, but those come out next week, so you want to keep an eye out on those for baseball fans. Now we got some news. eBay, most of you might already know, but if you sell on eBay, they have some new fees. eBay seems like they're changing their fees like every quarter. It must be that they have like shareholders that complain about something. They must listen very well to their shareholders, because can't imagine any other reason why eBay changes all their fees. Seems like PayPal fees stay pretty much the same. It seems like they've locked in. I mean, you know, they actually are pretty high compared to other credit card processing. If you have like a merchant account in your store, it's like it's ridiculous how low you can get it, especially if you're pushing through a lot of transactions and things like that. But PayPal's fees seem to stay about the same, does pretty well for the company. But eBay fees always are changing. It seems like they're always changing up their fees. But now, just a little while back, it used to be you could put on an auction for less than 99 cents and it wouldn't cost you anything to list it. I think before that, it might be like 15 to 20 cents just to list the item, no matter how much it costs. Well, now they changed it up a little bit. Now you can list, I think, 50 items. It could be started at, it still has to be an auction. It could be started at any price, you know, $99.99 or, you know, $9.99 or 99 cents. Doesn't matter. I think you can even throw in a buy it now for free. So you're allowed to put that option in there. But the kicker is now your final value fee, the fee that they charge you if the item sells, is also going to include, it stays at 9% or roughly 9%, I believe. But it also is going to include the shipping cost. So if you sell something for $9.99, it's going to cost you a lot more. So those are something that you want to keep in mind. I think I mentioned this on the show before, but I kind of wanted to test it out. So I put up some auctions, like the day after these fees went into effect, and sure enough, you can list them without paying any fees. I listed my Yasmani Grandal, a guy I talked about a couple of shows ago. I listed my Hank Conger card. Yeah, that's the one I listed. I was trying to remember which was the other card I have. It was like the only card I had left from my card store. I kept like this BGS 9.5 autograph Hank Conger card, and he's on the Angels now, and he's hitting it pretty good. He's hitting the ball pretty good. He plays every couple games. He's hitting much better than the other catchers on the team. So he's getting some decent playing time, and the coach is saying he's playing good behind the plate too. And the pitchers seem to be pitching well when he's back there. So I put that on there for like $39.99. I forget what I paid for it, but I saw another one get bought it now for like 50. So I said, hey, I'll put it up there, $39.99 free shipping, see if I can get one bid. So it didn't cost me anything, and with the free shipping, I don't get dinged on the final value fee. And then I found a Blake Griffin card, like a Blake Griffin rookie card randomly around here. It was like from an adrenaline pack that we pulled. I think we gave away the code. So I threw those are worth like $20. So I said, hey, I'm going to throw that up there, supplement all the adrenaline codes I've been giving away all these years or all these past 2 years or so, year and a half. So did that. So it definitely works. So you get on eBay. I don't know. You know, I guess I have to keep my number. If you have close to 50, you know, you might want to keep an eye on that. But the other reason why I wrote that down is I went through their little thing. You really got to sell. The difference between opening up an eBay store, a lot of people think, hey, man, I should open up an eBay store. They offer some discounted rates. But I went through and I tested their little calculator. It really got to be pushing out like a lot of items, like a tremendous amount of items, like over 1,000 really, for it to really be make a cheaper difference over not having a store and just running it out like normal. So I thought that was kind of interesting, because I remember in the past I was selling, I don't remember how many items, maybe 100 a month, maybe 150 a month. I can't remember. Might not have been quite that much, but I remember maybe like two or three a day. So maybe it was close to 100. But I remember having an eBay store, and I thought it was cheaper than just running the auctions out, because you could run fixed price, and it was a little cheaper that way. But I don't know. You'll have to look into that if you sell quite a few things. Speaking of selling quite a few things, I got an email. Jelly Cards is now Lodi Sports Cards on eBay. He posts on our forum, sometimes has good discounts on his cards and things like that. So just wanted to point that out in terms of selling on eBay. Next topic that I have here, Upper Deck and Panini. We talked about the video cards on our last program, and Upper Deck posted a blog where they said, hey, you know, Panini's announcing this video card, saying that they're premiering it to the market, blah blah blah, and they've changed up their design. Well, it's kind of funny. I like how these companies, we even heard it on our interview on our last show, where the guy from Paul from Tri-City Sports was, you know, talked a little bit about the competition. And if you go to some of these, you know, startup websites, they talk about the competition. Upper Deck's talking about the competition. Panini and Top sometimes talk about the competition and stuff like that. I always find it interesting, you know, that they're always like battling for position within the sports card world. I always think that's kind of funny. But this one was kind of interesting. They posted a blog about saying, hey, we debuted this card. And they kind of emphasized the point I said on, I think, show number 73, where, you know, Upper Deck was trying to put something at the market that wasn't an autograph or a jersey card, but still help spur excitement and sales within the product and maybe growth going forward. Whereas they kind of accused Panini of kind of basically copying their video card and then throwing Kobe's autograph or Blake Griffin's autograph on it. Now, you know, I can understand, like I said on the show, if these things are really cool and you want to play them all the time, I don't know if I want Kobe's signature right there. That's something you put, most people put in like plastic and, you know, keep in a safe place in the house or find a safe place for it. So the autograph versions, I think would be cool. I think it'd be cool if they kind of had two versions, you know, almost like the autograph version was like the ultimate version. And it would be interesting to see, I'd love to see these things kind of evolve where they didn't all play the same video. I could see, you know, just like we have parallel cards where we have, you know, silver ones and rainbow parallels and all these different ones, you could have ones that play different videos. And so it'd be attractive to then collect the all the ones so you could watch all Kobe's highlights or all Blake Griffin highlights or Tony Romo's. In fact, if you're interested in looking at the video, a lucky member of our fan forum won the Tony Romo that my brother, that I declared my brother overpaid for last week for $70, over $70 on eBay. Somebody won it, but you can go to our YouTube page, Sports Card Show, YouTube/, I don't know, Sports Card Show. I don't know. You can search for us on there. You should subscribe to our videos and befriend us while you're there as well. But you can see the whole demonstration pretty much of the Tony Romo. So that was kind of interesting. Doesn't include a USB cable. That was the one thing that if you're kind of on a low budget or if you don't have a lot of electronics, I could see, you know, we luckily, it works for the PlayStation 3. If you have a PlayStation 3, the little wire that plugs in that charges the wireless controller works. And maybe if you have other devices in your house, it looks like a cell phone charger might possibly work for it. There's other devices that look like it might fit there, but you might have difficulties charging it up if you don't have those kind of things available. So you might want to keep that in mind if you're into these video cards. And we'll see. I think Panini's might have batteries and things like that. I think that might be a better option, have it include batteries. I don't know. I know there's some shipping requirements. If you're shipping something with batteries inside, there's some different kind of rules there, I believe. Maybe somebody can send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com, and correct me. And my phone line, 916-222-1116. My computer's a little messed up. If you called, some of you may have called and gotten a no response sign. We're not off air. We're not too broke to pay our phone bill. In fact, the Magic Jack, I think you just pay it one time. They might rebill my credit card. But it's only been a couple months, so we're good to go for a couple months. But my computer's a little funky right now, so I've been relying on my laptop, and maybe that's a bad thing that I have that because I've been too lazy to fix this computer. But when it falls asleep or it does its weird little kind of log off thing, the Magic Jack doesn't work. So I've got to get in here and fix it and make sure you can call in and we can get your voicemails played on the show. But that's kind of what Panini and Upper Deck were minorly going back and forth. It may not have been as big as it might have seemed at the time, but they were kind of going back and forth. Not really back and forth. It was really Upper Deck coming at Panini saying, hey, they were the first ones with the video cards. And Panini has, if you go to their blog, they have a video with Blake Griffin on there as well. So you want to take a look at that. Rolling right along, sports card shows in the month of May. We're almost into the month of May. Spring flowers are blooming. The weather's going to get up into those. We've already seen 80 degrees. Hopefully not quite to 90 in May, but I wouldn't doubt it. The strange weather we've been having here in California, but there's actually a really cool card show. I better save some money for next month. Not to mention, I think I'm going to be staying overnight. So, man, that's going to cost me a decent amount of money. So we'll see if I have any left at the end of the month. But May 20th to the 22nd, these shows ironically go on at the same time, but on opposite ends of the coasts. The Pittsburgh XXIII, which I believe is 33 from the schooling I got, thanks to the teachers I had at Lincoln Elementary and Lincoln High School. And it's in Coraopolis, Pennsylvania. I don't know, Coraopolis, Pennsylvania. It's not really in Pittsburgh, I guess. Maybe that's a suburb of Pittsburgh. But you want to check that out if you're into sports card shows in the Pennsylvania area. I actually got an email from somebody that said that was actually a good show, and they wanted me to put it up on our show page and maybe promote it on the show a little bit. So here I am doing that, so hopefully they're listening, and I fulfilled my email requirement. Not that it was a requirement, but anytime I get heads up from a collector, I take it, you know, not too many, you know, the fact that you opened up your email box and typed it in and thought to send me an email, I figure you're probably giving me pretty useful information. Didn't say he had like a little table there or whatever, had a special deal going on. So he was just a collector, and he said it's been good in the past. So check it out. It's May 20th to the 22nd. During those same dates, I am going to be attending, not the 22nd. I think I'm going to be the 20th and the 21st. Those are Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I believe. I'm going to the TriStar San Francisco show in the Cow Palace of San Francisco. The place is, I will be honest, it's pretty much a dump. I guess it's, I don't know if it's a historical building. It's probably been there a while. I don't know of any place being open today in California being called the Cow Palace. So it was obviously opened up a long time ago. It's basically like a big, seems like a big like airplane hangar. So it's not the best unless they've done major renovations to the place since I've been there. But the show was awesome. I remember talking about it on the podcast last year. The show was amazing. I was flat broke at the time. I think I was more than flat broke. I was like beyond broke this time last year. This year, a little bit better. I guess I'm working a little bit harder. And I definitely, more opportunities have opened up in the last year. Last year was, jobs were much, I know the unemployment has gone down, but in California, it hasn't. Like, we actually sent representative. I think the best place in the nation right now in the U.S. is Texas. Texas has experienced job growth, I believe, in some areas, and maybe statewide. So we actually sent representatives from our legislation and, like, people in the high-ups of California government to Texas to see what they've been doing, and hopefully maybe they'll pick up on some ideas, because Texas is obviously doing something right. I can imagine it could possibly have something to do with the corporate tax rate. I'm not exactly sure what theirs is, but I know California's is ridiculously high. So if we did something with that, we might be able to and property taxes, we might be able to attract more businesses. So hopefully they pay attention when they're there. But I'm not exactly sure what I was going to. But yeah, I was flat broke last year. This year, not rich by any means, but definitely might have $30-$40 at most to spend on cards while I'm there. So we'll see what happens. So I'm excited because, like I said, I mean, like last year I had nothing to my name. So this year I at least have like $20 where I can pick up a few more things and not have to borrow from my girlfriend like I did last year. So I'm excited about going and it will be exciting. I think I'm actually staying the night. I think I'm going there Friday and staying the night because I don't know why, because it'll be nice, I think, because San Francisco is a beautiful place, and if my girlfriend's listening, she'll want me to say it's to repay her for Valentine's Day and maybe her birthday and other things that I might have missed due to other obligations. So we'll keep moving on. Landon Donovan is now signing cards for Upper Deck. I think he might be an exclusive deal with them. So he's signing cards. I know 2011 Soccer just came out. My brother had that checklist up on our site, and I know cards, he was like surprised. He was like looking on eBay or something. He was like, man, cards are selling for a lot of money out of this set. So people are excited about Soccer. And kind of brought up, that kind of transitioned to another point that I had. Upper Deck is, you know, this time last year, we were like, man, Upper Deck isn't paying their bills. Upper Deck is screwing up. Upper Deck's losing its football license. All this stuff's happening. But they really seem to turn themselves around. Who knows what the internal financials are and whatnot, but they seem to be experimenting with new things, and they seem to be working, not just the video cards, but the NCAA cards they've been putting out have been received well and have been selling well, especially the football ones, which I think is just a brilliant move. I think that people identify with college football in this country in some parts as much as they do or more than they do with the NFL. So and with the NFL and how it's been going and all this stuff, we'll see what ends up happening with the NFL because college is still maybe one, it's not really pure, but it's compared to the NFL, it's the purest football we've got going outside soccer, I guess, in the United States. So, but they've had team sets. They've had this, you know, they had North Carolina basketball. I know they have some football ones either planned or they put out ones. They've had these soccer cards that just came out. They've had lacrosse. They've got hockey, which is an upper echelon sport, and it's a sport they've had for a while and they've had success with. But they've seemed to keep doing well with hockey, and it's one of their major brands. And I think they have a golf set planned. They used to do golf quite a bit, but they also got, on the lines of golf, they got Tiger Woods Masters gear. It was, like, incredible. They were showing the shirts. Tiger Woods sent them, I think, all four shirts that he wore at the Masters just a couple weeks ago. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But I think they have a golf set because they were saying on their Twitter they have, like, Bubba Watson just signed cards, or they were going to have Bubba Watson autograph cards in their next golf set. So I thought that was kind of interesting to see. But that might wrap it up for my news. I think I had one final point on the terms of budgeting. When I was talking about the sports card show, and I might have like $20, $30 to spend, and that's probably all I'll spend at the most, unless I just see a ridiculous, like, Magic Johnson autograph and somebody wants to do it for like $80, but I'll definitely not spend that much more on cards, since I've already spent $15 on a Jordan Crawford this month, and I might buy a few more, and I'll talk about that on the next segment in Classics Basketball. Setting a budget in cards. I learned that in our trading card challenge. I've talked about this on the show. You can go to our homepage at sportscardradio.com, scroll down towards the bottom. You'll see like two boxing gloves, and it'll say like trading card challenge or something underneath. Click on that, and you'll see the challenge with my brother that's going on. You'll get a gist of what's going on. And basically, we're buying and selling cards on a budget, $20 each per month, $10 on Check Out My Cards, and basically $10 on eBay. Because I looked at Sports Lots, there's stuff on there, but you do kind of have to buy a lot of cards at once. And a lot of guys don't price it. The guys that have the good cards price it pretty high. So it is kind of tough to find good deals on it. So it's basically eBay and Check Out My Cards. But the important thing to stress is I'm up $6, which is 7.5% on $80, and I'm trying to get to up to $8, which would be up 10% in 4 months. That's a pretty good return. That's over 2% a month, I guess, if you look at it that way. So I'm trying to push it, grind out. But I think the main thing about it, even if you don't have a challenge like against your brother or family member or another collector or whatever, challenge yourself. I think set aside $20, $30. Doesn't matter if it's on Check Out My Cards or eBay or wherever you buy cards. Doesn't matter. It could be at your card store. I think it could definitely be there, or at card shows and stuff, because if there's the ability to negotiate prices there and sometimes be there at the right place at the right time and get a good deal, or at garage sales or thrift stores and stuff. Challenge yourself and, you know, limit yourself to a budget and say, hey, I'm going to spend, $20, $30, $40, whatever. You know, for me, that's all I can afford. Maybe you can afford $100, $150, $200. Because if I'm up 7.5% and I make the same decisions and they were all good and everything kind of sold the same way, you know, and if I was up 7.5% on $1,000 or $10,000 buying and selling cards, then we're talking about real money. I don't know if that's possible, because the more money you spend, the broader you're stretching and the more misses you're going to have. Sure, the more chances you'll have to hit it big, and hopefully you will, but it would be tricky to grind out percentage. But hey, maybe not. Maybe the low stakes, grind out the low stakes, a low budget, it's the same as the high stakes. I don't really know. I can imagine the variance and like going up and down in price would be higher. You'd be having $100 swings if you're investing thousands, whereas my swings are only, 50 cents, 80 cents here and there. So, but the main thing I want to emphasize is set a budget, whether it's your overall card budget, or if you just decide to set a budget just on what you spend on boxes, or what you spend on single cards, or what you spend on rookie cards, or what you spend on new product versus vintage, whatever it might be. I encourage you, you don't have to write it down or like have it specifically laid out on a website or a blog, but I encourage you to set a budget for a couple reasons. One, it keeps you from overspending. Two, it, for me, it pushes me to sell cards and get you know, lock in profits might not always be the best thing. James Darnell's been hitting like 500 in the first like week and a half of baseball. I noticed his rookie cards have been selling more. I just sold my Jay Hoon Ha cards on Check Out My Cards. He's batting like 400 or 500. If these guys keep tearing it up and they get moved up through the system, I'll look like an idiot selling them for 20 cents a piece. Or and the James Darnell I sold for like $2.15, one of his autograph cards. I'll look like an idiot if these guys make the major leagues. But it does kind of push you to move on and get some new cards, and I have gotten some cool cards. And you know, move on and sell. I don't think it's feasible if you're into a big collector and you're into a big collection. It's not feasible if you're always looking for a special player. You sometimes have to move when that certain auction comes up or when that certain set comes out with a lot of Aaron Rodgers cards or Patrick Willis cards or whatever it might be. You have to kind of move on it. But I encourage you to set a budget. And my second reason is that because I think it might, and this may be my own selfish reason, is I think it probably keeps you in the hobby longer, is because then you don't get burned. It does encourage you to sell, because if you do want to free up some money, say you do want to move on a $100 card, but your budget is really in that $30 to $40 range, well, hey, I got a couple cards that might be selling for a little bit more than I paid for them. It encourage you to, hey, I'll just throw them on right now. That frees up some extra funds. Then I'll move on the, you know, the Brett Favre card I wanted, or, you know, the Kobe Bryant card or the Magic Johnson card I wanted. So it's just, you know, I think it'll encourage you to sell a few more cards and keep you from overspending and maybe getting in too deep and then maybe ending up with a lot of cards that aren't very valuable, because I've been going through some old checklists looking at like 1999 sets and seeing all these players that used to be great like Cade McNown and Akili Smith. You know, only like a couple, like Donovan McNabb from 1999. I remember that was huge when I was in a hobby store. You know, everybody was collecting all Ricky Williams, all those guys were, Edgerrin James, all those guys were worth hundreds of dollars. But there really was only a couple. Champ Bailey, Edgerrin James, and Donovan McNabb had like great careers, and everybody else was just kind of so-so from that year or just fell off the map completely. So it just goes to show you, when time stretches really long, there really only ends up being like one or two players that were truly great and truly collected long after their career is over. So you want to keep that in mind as you're collecting. It sometimes is good to sometimes turn over even prospects, young prospects, turn them over, because there's a huge percent of them that don't even make it, even like high, especially in baseball, don't end up making it. So, you know, just my own selfish reasons, I guess, there. Set a budget, I think, not maybe for your whole collection, but set something, some kind of budget. If you find yourself, especially if you find yourself overspending or going over your limits and things like that, you might want to set a budget. It'll help you out in the future. In terms of setting a budget, I might have to set a budget on some of these rookies that I'm going to be buying out of Classics Basketball. I'm not lying here either. I'm actually going to go online, or if I find them at the TriStar show next month, I'm actually hoping, because that's a month from now, I'm actually hoping some collectors, I noticed there was a lot of bad, you know, Oakland, the Bay Area, the Oakland, not the Oakland, but the Golden State Warriors, they're located in Oakland, are very popular in that area. And I know the Kings, not so much popular, but there are a lot of Laker fans around here. Notice there was a lot of basketball cards, aside from San Francisco Giants and a bunch of fake Tim Lincecum autographs and things like that there. And LeBron James, I definitely saw a couple LeBron James autographs there that were definitely not something I would purchase. But aside from those, I did see a lot of basketball, so I'm hoping that I might be able to scoop some of these guys while I'm there. But I will be looking online, because I notice that some of these guys aren't selling for very much, and I think that some of these guys are going to be quality basketball players. So it's kind of some things, NBA negotiations are going to play into how good my investment is into this year's NBA prospects, and maybe one or two from last year. We'll talk about some of that, and we'll talk about the entire set, Classics Basketball, right after this.
Oh, life is bigger. It's bigger. Set it up. That's me in the corner.
And we are back. Time to talk about some classics. Basketball. Excited about this set, only because I'm a basketball fan. I'm not exactly sure. I think boxes are selling for like 70, 80 bucks online. I think it says right here, SRP is $6 per pack. There's 18 packs. So 6 times 18, usually get a little bit of discount, but they have it at 108, so I'm guessing boxes are supposed to sell in the $80 to $90 range, or a little bit higher than that maybe. So they might not be selling quite as well, because really the big hit that everybody's looking for is that John Wall autograph, besides some of the veterans. But in terms of the rookies, that's what everybody's kind of looking for. Nobody really paid attention a whole lot to the other ones. But you get two autograph cards. One being a rookie numbered out of $6.99 or less. I think a lot of boxes have two autograph rookies. I'm not 100% sure on that. I think I saw a video where a guy pulled two autograph rookies. You get two memorabilia cards. You get one legend out of $9.99. And you get 12 insert cards. Like I said, the SRP is right around $6 per pack. It's a 16-box case, so there's a lot of boxes in a case. But the big hits, there's 40 autograph rookies, so there's actually quite a few of them. And they're all numbered out of $6.99 or less, but all the top guys, the top guys, are very limited. John Wall's only out of $1.99. Evan Turner's out of $2.99. Derek Favors out of $2.99. DeMarcus Cousins looks like he's out of $3.49. Greg Monroe's out of $3.99, so a lot of the guys didn't sign quite as many as, like my boy Jordan Crawford, who signed 699 of them. And his is a redemption card. Those expire, looks like October 13, 2012, if you're interested in that, if you're listening to this a little bit late. But the reason why I like these, again, is because they're on card, just pretty clean-looking card. I like the cards. Not that the design really matters to me, but I kind of like that there's on-card rookies. Didn't look like these were selling for that much. Like I said, I got a Jordan Crawford for $16 with my Groupon. It was like $8. They're selling for a little bit less now. I think I saw one end for under $9 shipped the other day, so I might even get on there and get a second or maybe even a third one if they're selling for under $10. But I noticed DeMarcus Cousins, I think, didn't even sell for over $30. There's a guy that if he could get his head on straight, he's going to a better market, hopefully in Anaheim. It looks like the Kings will probably move to Anaheim, but who knows? Maybe if they do return to Sacramento, the fans will support the team a little bit better than they claim they do. So we'll see what happens to DeMarcus, but I think he's a solid guy. He's a guy that can put up big-time points and could fill it up if he could stay on the court, stay out of foul trouble, stay out of trouble. He doesn't really get in a lot of like legal trouble. He just seems to, I don't know, just get in trouble with the coach and the other teammates and stuff on the team. But he's a guy, really, when I'm talking about guys to invest in basketball, I'm not really talking about their personality so much, although I think that has a big thing to do with it. It's really their stats, guys that can fill it up, guys that average 15, really it's like 15 plus points a game, and very select few guys in the NBA can do that. Actually, I think everybody in the NBA could probably average whatever amount of points they wanted to average if the coach and the team and sometimes the league allowed them to do that. I think, you know, a lot of these guys, if they got 25, even the last guy on the bench, if he got 25, 30 shots, except some of these like stiff 7-foot centers, most of the athletic guard guys, if you gave them Kobe Bryant's opportunities and LeBron's opportunities, they're going to drop plenty of points. And we kind of saw that with Jordan Crawford. People were probably taking the night off against the Wizards and still winning the game. But that's how he was able. I think he dropped 39 points and he had a triple-double like the last week of the season. I think he averaged 18 points over his last 15 games. And he dropped a 39 ball in there. So, and it's because, you know, some of these guys, anybody's capable of doing it given the opportunity. So the Wizards had tons of guys that were hurt, and none of their guys were playing that well. So even some of the veterans that they had on the team weren't playing well, and they made some trades where they traded like a lot of guys away. So the Wizards were kind of a rare case. But one guy that I'm going to probably scoop some autographs because I think they're selling for as much or even less than Jordan Crawford is Greg Monroe. He's a center for the Detroit Pistons. He's a guy you want to keep an eye on because it looks like Ben Wallace is retiring. Greg Monroe averaged, I think, about 13, 14 points the last, quarter of the season, last 15 games of the season. Really filled in well. If he's a guy that could elevate his scoring just a little bit more in the offseason, maybe work on his rebounding and then develop his game, staying out of foul trouble and things like that, he's a guy that I could see getting some good minutes next year. It all depends on what happens in Detroit. There's another guy that I think I mentioned in the first half of the show, going back to last year's Classics Basketball, Iona Gerald Henderson in our contest that I'm running with my brother. I really like that card. I don't think I'm going to be able to sell. I think I bought it for $5, and I have it listed like at $5.15, $5.20. I don't think it's going to sell in the offseason, so I think I might even take that one off. But I really like that card going forward. I like his game going forward. But another guy on the Pistons going forward, considering they had a lot of roster problems, I think I might even mention this on a show, or somebody brought it up on our fan forum, how they had these roster problems. Like one game, like all the players like kind of did a minor strike because of something Rip Hamilton did, or I forget what player, Tayshaun Prince might have got into it with somebody. I don't remember who it was, but all these players sat out. Austin Day is a guy that got opportunities here and there. Sometimes he would start, but he wouldn't get a lot of shots. If you go look at his game log and his box score, look to see how many shots he got, not necessarily his minutes, because I noticed there were some games where he was getting decent minutes, but he wasn't getting a whole lot of opportunities to shoot the ball. But there were some games where Austin Day was able to either get in rhythm, or they were running plays for him, or his matchup was good, and he could put up a lot of points. He's a guy to keep an eye on. His autographs don't sell for a whole lot either. He goes back from 09-10. I'm not talking about this year's Classics Basketball. I'm talking about last year. Austin Day has some nice cards. He's another guy I might try to pick up from last year's basketball. But going back to this year, I really think Greg Monroe, Jordan Crawford are like kind of one and two of guys that if the circumstances with the teams and things like that work out next year, those are the guys that I think could have an opportunity to continue the 15, and then if they really elevate their game in the summer, could get to 15, 20, 30 points, not 30 points a game, but I think Jordan Crawford, if the Wizards mix is right, he's a guy that could potentially get up into that 18 to 20 point game if he works on his consistency and his conditioning. Greg Monroe is a guy that could probably be a double-double guy, getting rebounds and scoring, and probably getting blocks and some other things for the Pistons. His is numbered out of 399 in here, so I was surprised that they don't sell for quite as much. I guess there's just not that many people interested in basketball. So just wanted to throw, those are like two guys in basketball where if you could scoop their autograph rookie for under $8, I really think you're doing pretty good, because I don't think they could go down, but I think there's a lot more upside there. I think you could have a $20 card there early next season, because there's some fantasy hype and some stuff that goes into basketball. Another thing I wanted to talk about is a lot of this, you know, I'll kind of curtail my buying on basketball until I start hearing a little bit more how the negotiations go with the labor, because I know that the sides are still apart and there might be some differences and things like that, but the NBA really wants to make some changes with the contract structures, and it's the kind of thing that might help out a Greg Monroe, might help out Jordan Crawford, might help out some of these young rookies, a Wesley Matthews, an Austin Day and things, especially Austin Day, who was on Detroit, who probably would have cut ties with a lot of these players that were causing them problems. They would have just cut ties with them if they could, but you really can't in the NBA. You can't really just cut a guy in the NBA without taking a massive salary cap hit, and not you might as well just keep the guy. That's kind of how it is in the NBA. You might as well just keep a player. It doesn't matter how dysfunctional he is, or how bad he is, or if he never even plays, you might as well just keep him. So the NBA wants to change that. I don't know if they want to just be able to outright cut a guy and you know, you get all the salary cap back and all those kind of things. I'm not exactly sure how they'll structure it, but there's some different kind of issues that are coming up, and I think that might be good for younger players because it will push these older players to either stay in shape in the summer and not be able to kind of hang on in the last parts of their career, because these younger guys are going to be cheaper, they're going to be motivated, they're going to be working really hard to get that multi-million dollar contract that they don't have yet, and so are a lot of other players, because if your contract's not guaranteed, or if you can be cut at any moment in the NBA, you're going to be playing a lot harder harder from night to night. So I think as a fan, we've got to hope. That's the reason, one of the reasons why the NFL is so big is because the contracts aren't guaranteed. The pressure to play well is from top to bottom on the roster, not just from a fan perspective, but imagine being in that guy's shoes. Imagine having those shoulder pads on and that helmet on. And, you know, not being Tom Brady, it'd be great to be Tom Brady or like Peyton Manning or like, you know, Eli Manning or any of these guys that got like big contracts and, you know, the beautiful wife and like all the money in the world. And they're great. They got great talent and they got great talent around them. They got great coaching. They know the systems. So they're great players, you know. But imagine being that guy that was just drafted or the seventh round guy or the guy that barely made it last year or guy that was on the practice squad last year and is trying to make it this year. I mean, there's a lot of pressure to like perform. So because you could be cut at any moment or they could bring another guy in and you could be gone at any moment. So whereas in the NBA, you don't really have that. Really, a guy has to get hurt or traded for any opportunities to really open up in the NBA. So we'll see if that happens. I think it'll be really positive for NBA, and I think it'll be real positive for NBA basketball collecting. I think NBA basketball collecting right now, maybe for a number of reasons, isn't, especially in the new products, I don't think it gets quite the sizzle. You don't see products like explode like, you know, we did this year with Blake Griffin, but obviously it was like a year after the fact. Now, if he played last year and if he was, you know, double-doubling it from the beginning, you had Tyreek Evans putting up like 25 and 5 or whatever he did. You had Brandon Jennings kind of playing well in the beginning of the year last year too. You know, who knows? Maybe basketball would have exploded a lot more than it did last year. But we just don't see that explode, like, you know, the $180 box like we've seen in Bowman and even football. Some of the products have done very well with the Tim Tebow's and even the Sam Bradford autographs are worth a lot of money. And there's a lot of other guys in there that are worth a lot of money and drive the prices up. But we don't really see that in basketball. And it's partly because I think the product that the NBA puts out is great in the playoff times. Right now, the playoffs is great. Everybody's playing hard. Everybody wants to win. The teams that are in it, we're even watching Memphis, like, you know, hand it to San Antonio. They're playing hard. They're bumping them around. San Antonio is a real physical team, but it's looking like Memphis is like the most physical team there. So it's interesting. The NBA gets really good around playoff time, but I think if they eliminated guaranteed contracts, we'd see better play. But at the same time, I think we'd see a little bit more player movement, guys getting cut, guys getting moved up and down roster, guys getting more minutes, younger players being moved in and out of lineups more often than they are now because veterans have spots like locked up until they get hurt or until their contract expires or until the team can trade their expiring contract. So that's really where the NBA is at right now. So we'll see what happens. So I'm going to invest a little bit outside our – I have a budget of $20 a month for the challenge, but since that's been going good, being up $8 or $6 on $80 is actually a lot. And I don't fully invest the whole 20, and I'm buying like some 10 cent cards and some 20 cent cards here and there, so I have myself spread out quite a bit. But I'll probably invest maybe another a little bit, maybe like $50, $60 on some of these rookies in basketball going back maybe a year or two that I think might emerge in year three if we can, you know, get the labor agreements knocked out in the NBA. I think it'd make it more competitive game to game. Fans might get into it more. Overall, that's good. That's good for all card values. Even kind of the dud guys start going up because even they play a couple minutes and people are, you know, even like Shannon Brown cards go for, you know, not decent money or even good money. But Shannon Brown cards still sell and still get a little bit. He doesn't have a lot of cards out there, but I can imagine his cards still sell a little bit because he's on the Lakers. You know what I mean? If he was on the Utah Jazz or if he was on, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers dunking on guys, people wouldn't be that impressed. But because he's on the Lakers and he's always, you know, on the highlights and always doing the things with Kobe there, those kind of things help a player out. But I think, you know, in terms of the NBA putting a better product out there, you might get more passionate fans out there, more people at the games, more people watching on TV, and definitely more people collecting the cards. At least that's what I'm thinking will happen. And hey, if there's no NFL, that's even better for the NBA and all the sports, because then all those fans are going to be so mad and there's going to be all this gambling money that's going to be on the side. All those people are going to be just ready to go to basketball and go to baseball. So we'll see what happens. But that about wraps it up. I think I've made that argument before. Sorry if you've sat through my NBA negotiations. But to wrap up my point on Panini Classics basketball, if you're looking for like a really just pure on-card autograph from this year, no player worn, no other kind of like BS, no sticker autograph, nothing like that, Classics basketball is where to go, and it is affordable. You know, I think we'll have National Treasures. That might be on card. Gold Standard might be on card. You know, I think Totally Certified Basketball was just announced today. That's going to have the video cards from Panini. But who knows? You know, definitely some of those will have on-card autograph rookies, but the SRP on all those boxes and the kind of the anticipated price you're going to have to pay for those boxes is a lot more. And as we've seen, usually the price per box is, you know, sometimes has an effect on how much the cards inside are worth too. Usually because they're out of a less print run and they're of a nicer quality. They might have like a, you know, a better player worn jersey or a game worn jersey in some cases. But, you know, the National Treasures Jordan Crawford is probably going to be slightly out of my budget if it's not, you know, numbered out of $2.99 or $3.99 or a large amount. So if it's one of the like 99 patch autograph ones, then I have no chance of being able to afford it. So I think Classics is good for the affordable set. And if you're looking for just good, clean autographs, and they have all, that's what's cool is because a lot of the sets have like John Wall and DeMarcus and some of these other guys on card, but they don't have Jordan Crawford or they don't have Quincy Poindexter or they don't have Eric Bledsoe or they don't have Timothy Mozgov on card or even Jeremy Lin or even Landry Fields. I know he doesn't have a whole lot of autographs out there. So it has everybody. And so that's why I kind of like this set too, if you're a fan of signatures on card. But two, they're generous. Most of them are generous, $6.99, and the top players, the lottery picks and stuff like that, are out of a little less. But like I said, Greg Monroe's out of $3.99. I saw those selling for like $10, sometimes a little bit less. They were selling for a little bit more right the week of, and you know, that's typical when a set comes out. They were going for a little bit more, but you know, I'm thinking basketball is probably a decent way to put some money into and roll the dice, since most of my challenge is going to be baseball, since baseball is like the hot sport right now. It just started, it goes on forever, and there's tons of prospects, and there's minor league baseball, and I'm following the stats on minorleaguebaseball.com. So we'll see what happens. Most of my challenge stuff is probably going to be baseball related, but anything personal collection and stuff like that is probably going to be slanted towards basketball. But to emphasize a point I made earlier, I am going to budget myself. I'm not going to go out and buy every basketball card this month. I will wait and, you know, spread it out month to month. I got the Jordan Crawford. I might buy another one this month, or I might buy a Greg Monroe. Next month, I might look into Austin Days. And the following month, I might look into find a different guy that I think opportunity might open up next year. So it'll be exciting to see, and we'll see what happens. But that's kind of my take on Classics basketball, an affordable set that I think has some upside. I think looking back, I think if Panini kind of keeps doing the same things with their sets where they have you know, a lot of sticker autographs with some of the rookies, and they have some of them on, I know Threads was like on wood, and then you have some like Timeless Treasures on the leather, and then you have some, you know, on like fabric. I think Rookies and Stars has some like on some fabric, where they have all these different things. I think when we look back, you know, we'll really like kind of like the clean, just pure autograph card. I think so. I think these sets, Classics basketball, if they keep making it, I think we'll continue to have success. I think we'll be collected a little bit more in the basketball. I know they have Kevin Durant. I think Kevin Durant significant signers sold for like I think $130-140, something like that. I was kind of interested to see how much his signatures would go for. It looked like they go for a decent amount. So that's good for the box price. If you're interested in box prices going up, if you're like a seller, it's definitely good that Kevin Durant's in here, because that adds just that, you know, three-figure autograph to the possibility to each set, because it looks like he's not going to have like maybe even as many autographs as Kobe at this point, but he does have a decent amount. This one's out of 49, so and he has other ones throughout here, so he'll probably have maybe 100, 150, 200 autographs per set, if my math is, maybe I'm just guessing there, but if my math is right, That definitely will help increase prices across the board for Panini products. And if some of these rookie class, I think this rookie class was definitely soft and was definitely under collected, and definitely none of them even really got much opportunities. Cousins got some run, and like I said, Greg Monroe and Jordan Crawford were some of the few rookies other than John Wall that were like starting down the stretch of the season. So it's amazing that some of these young guys that were starting down the stretch of the season, their cards don't sell for a whole lot. So I know that in baseball or even in football, if you're a rookie and you're like starting down the season, you're like even on a bad team, but you're, you know, rushing for 150 yards, your cards are going to be worth a lot. And that's basically what Greg Monroe, and not rushing for 150, is more rushing for like 100 yards and a touchdown, you know, standard game in fantasy, a game you wouldn't be disappointed with. It's not your 3-touchdown or 400-yard, 300-yard game. But Jordan Crawford did drop 39 and had a triple-double in another game. So the dude can fill it up. That might have been the same game. I'm not exactly sure. They might have been different games. But guys can fill it up. And it's amazing that their cards don't sell for a lot. So it just shows me that I don't think it's anything to do with Panini. I don't think it has much to do with the cards. I just think there's a lot less basketball collectors out there. And sometimes, you know, people might make the argument, yo, there's nobody collecting it, it's weak, you know what I mean? But sometimes that's where your best opportunity is, because you can get in before it does. If you think it will hit a peak, it's like collecting UFC cards kind of before the sport. Not that there was a lot of cards around, but the sport has continually gotten more popular, kind of like getting maybe some of the young, like John Jones or whatever, the guy that just won some kind of title. His cards have like blown up. He was like not a nobody, but his cards didn't sell for a whole lot when he was just coming out with cards, you know, a year or two ago. So, but now that he's worked up the ranks and he's, you know, he's got the title fights and he got his opportunity, he made good of it, his cards are worth a lot. So we'll see what happens in the NBA. I don't know if we'll see kind of the glory days when Kobe was a rookie, or even Garnett and Jason Kidd. Those cards are worth a lot, and some of the, you know, Shaq had a lot to do with it. A lot of the other, like, you know, Harold Miner cards were worth a lot of money before he even did anything, and he wasn't like that high of a draft pick. We just don't see that in the NBA outside the first or second draft pick, just because they don't get a lot of opportunity. But like I said, that could change quite a bit with the labor agreements in the NBA. So you want to keep an eye on that. These rookies and some of these younger players could be getting a much bigger opportunity in the NBA and on these teams if what David Stern and the owners want to have happen happens. I think it opens the door up for these younger players a couple years down the line once these contracts expire. So we'll see what happens. I'm betting on that. I would put my money on that. And also, I just think things go in waves. The basketball's kind of been in a lull or kind of going sideways for a while. I think that it possible. The playoffs have been really good the last couple of years. So if they could just get the regular season to play out a little bit more like that, I think it would be a little bit more entertaining for the fans. So we'll see what happens. That's my plea for basketball. I think that's probably like the fifth time I've done that. But when you've done 3 shows in 1 week, sometimes you repeat things. But that, I'm not going to repeat anything for the rest of the show, because that wraps it up for today. Thanks for everybody that has emailed. I got some good emails like the past couple weeks, so they've been good. It's like corrections on checklists that I've got up. I love getting those. Just some general questions. I always love getting just any kind of questions on. I think today I got one on, I forget what basketball set he had a question on, but he asked me about Hall of Fame basketball. He was wondering about, he had a correction for my checklist that I had up, but he also was wondering, hey, is it coming out again this year? And I really didn't know. But I told him, you know, we hadn't heard about a basketball set in a while. And lo and behold, we hear about Totally Certified Basketball today, which will have the video cards that Panini's been talking about for the last couple weeks. So, you know, lo and behold, we hear about a basketball set. It's not Hall of Fame. I know Hall of Fame was like an off-season release. I know that they put out Gold Standard, and that may or may not have replaced the set from last year. We have not seen Court Kings. We have not seen Crown Royale basketball, and we have not seen Hall of Fame, and we have not seen any information on National Treasures. Now, I think National Treasures for sure. Court Kings, Hall of Fame, and Crown Royale all went down in wholesale price. We're all selling actually below wholesale price before Blake Griffin blew up. I remember Court Kings, the SRP was like, I think we're actually doing a box break, so I think my brother ordered a box. I think we're getting it tomorrow. So if you're listening to this, head on over to the sportscardradio.com fan forum. We'll have contests up more than likely, unless my brother already put them up. But I think we'll probably have contests or the results. You'll find out if you head on over to our fan forum. But Court Kings was selling for like $50. I think it got down to like maybe even under $50. And that was at retail. I was seeing retail prices of that. And that was, it was, like I said, it was $100 SRP on that box. So this stuff goes down in price. So my point being is, the companies replace products that go down in SRP. When it comes up again the following year, the distributor or the especially the hobby shop that may have ordered a case or two of that, now it'd been great in the case of basketball because it ended up blowing up, and if you ended up, you know, getting left with it, you probably ended up doing okay with it. But in some cases, you just have that bad taste in your mouth, and you're like, man, that's still on the. In some cases, it still could be on the shelf. So you might have a bad taste in your mouth. You might not order as much. It's hard to sell as a company. So they tend to replace sets that don't sell as well with ones that do. So we'll see what happens in basketball. But I'm curious to see if they do Crown Royale. I know that wasn't maybe as successful in terms of how it's sold, but it does have some lineage between the football set that they just put out. So I'd like to see that come back. Studio, I know, didn't sell well at all either. That was another on-card. I think they had some on-card autographs in there as well. For some reason, that didn't sell quite as well. So we'll see. Maybe basketball collectors don't care as much about on-card autographs. Maybe that's one thing. They care more about the patches and the autographs because it seems like the cards with the patches and the autographs do sell pretty well, and they don't tend to go maybe down in as prices. So maybe that's another thing we've discovered on the tail end of this podcast. That about wraps it up. Hopefully everything's going well in your collection. Like I was going to say, send me an email. Tell me about your collection, sportscardshow@gmail.com. You can let me know anything you want. And yeah, that about wraps it up for today. Hopefully you enjoyed another podcast this week. Who knows when we'll have another one, but maybe if I'm still bored and I'm not doing a whole lot and I've got some time, we'll do another one here soon and just kind of jam these things out. We'll see if enough hobby news happens or if we can get a couple interview guests. That's definitely my goal for the next couple shows. Get a couple more interview guests on here. Get some perspective from around the hobby. You have that to look forward to. We are out of here.